Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the Old Testament book of Numbers. Now to Pastor Chris.
Numbers 5 today on Through the Word, as we arrive at what is likely the most curious ritual in the entire Bible. Chapter 5 continues the directions given by the Lord to Moses in preparation for the great road trip to the Promised Land. The directions here focus on dealing with some sticky situations, three in particular: leprosy in the camp, making right what's been done wrong, and the curious one, the law of jealousy, what to do when you suspect your spouse of cheating. If you want to stump your Bible teacher, ask them about this one. We'll begin back in verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "Command the Israelites to send away from the camp anyone who has an infectious skin disease, or a discharge of any kind, or who is ceremonially unclean because of a dead body. Send them away, male and female alike. Send them outside the camp, so they will not defile their camp, where I dwell among them." So we're 5 chapters in, and the first 3 words, again, "the Lord said." And again, what he said to Moses. The direction here is to send the lepers and the unclean outside the camp. The goal is purity inside the camp. Leviticus has all the detail on clean and unclean. Basically, God gave Israel amazing directions on preventing germ and disease spread about 3,000 years before science caught up. As a result, Jews have been rescued from plagues and epidemics throughout the ages. That was Leviticus. Here in Numbers, the context here is giving order to the camp. Every person had a place, and the place for the contagious was outside the camp. It was difficult, but life-saving. God didn't explain all the reasons. He just called them to trust. Remember, they're learning to follow, and the number one lesson for good following is trust. Now keep in mind that the laws of the Old Testament were given by God for Israel. As Christians, we are not bound by these laws. This is, however, a powerful picture. After God saves us, God purifies us. He calls us to remove what is unclean in our lives. Leprosy is a picture of sin, and the unclean pictures all the dirty stuff. Get it out of the camp. Why? Same reason he gave the Israelites in verse 3. He dwells among us. We are God's house, his tabernacle or temple. He doesn't explain all the ways sin will harm us. He just asks us to trust him. The other thing to remember is that this is the old covenant, the law. The law didn't have room for lepers and sinners. It could identify them and get rid of them, but couldn't help them. Moses brought law, Jesus brought grace. Jesus not only touched the lepers, he healed them. He cleansed them and brought them back into camp. I'll take grace over law any day. The second directive in Numbers 5 is a prescription for what to do when one person wrongs another. I like this. We need this. Every kid comes to the realization that sorry is not a magic word that makes everything right. But too often, that's all we give our kids. Just say sorry. God's answer starts in verse 5. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, when a man or woman wrongs another in any way, and so is unfaithful to the Lord, that person is guilty and must confess the sin he has committed. He must make full restitution for his wrong. Add 1/5 to it and give it all to the person he wronged." So this is the law of restitution, for taking a wrong and making it right. If you did something wrong, there were 3 mandates required to set it right again. 1, confess. 2, pay it back, plus 20%. 3, make atonement. I like this. It deals with the full repercussions of wrong. There are 3 parties to get right with. Confession, get your own heart right. Restitution, make it right with the one wronged. If you broke it, don't just say sorry, fix it and add a little more. And atonement, get right with God. For the Jews, that was a sacrifice. For us, only the cross gets us right with God again. And then in verse 11, we come to the law of jealousy. If a man suspects his wife of adultery, but he has no evidence, God gave a prescription for him. It is reasonable to assume that the same rule applied to wives suspicious of their husbands, as the Bible's laws on adultery applied equally to both parties. Either way, it's an awful predicament. Adultery is horrendous. God said it deserves death. Adultery is a breaking of the deepest trust and strongest commitment known between humans. But what do you do with suspicion that you can't prove? So here was the law for Israel. The suspicious party would take his wife to the priest, along with a grain offering. Grain offerings represented fellowship, for this would be a test to see if the fellowship had been broken. In verse 16, the priest shall bring her and have her stand before the Lord. That last phrase is repeated three more times before we're done, and that's the real key. Stand before the Lord. Then it gets interesting. Verse 17, then he shall take some holy water in a clay jar and put some dust from the tabernacle floor in the water. This concoction of water and tabernacle dust is called the bitter water that brings a curse. The priest holds it as the woman stands before the Lord. Then the priest puts the woman under oath, and he doesn't pronounce a verdict, only a curse. If she's telling the truth, may no harm come to her. But if she's lying, may her belly swell up and her thigh rot. And the woman says, amen, so be it. Then in 23, he writes the curse on a scroll, then washes the ink into the bitter water in the clay jar. Then the woman drinks the water. If she's guilty, that bitter water brings the curse. If she's innocent, she's free and clear, and she can bear more children. And that's it, the law of jealousy. And all the Bible scholars said together, what was that? This is not a typical law or ritual in the Bible. The law of God is sensible and good. God is not in the habit of concocting witch doctor remedies. So what's the deal with this one? Let's look closer. The first question is, did the bitter water that brings a curse really work? Some scholars say it was psychosomatic. The weight and agony of guilt would do the trick, but the ritual just brought it home. Others say it's a curse. If God says a curse, then a curse there be. Whatever the case, I think the symbolism is what matters most to us. This is just my take, so feel free to disagree. A clay jar often represents a human body. We're made of dirt. The holy water may represent marriage. Marriage is pure and holy. It predates sin. And amazingly, God entrusts it to humans. Clay jars like us. Water in the jar. Dust can symbolize the curse or sin. The serpent was cursed to eat dust in Genesis. Sin enters the marriage to make it dirty. Maybe. We don't know for sure. And the ink of the curse would appear to represent the law. The law is how we recognize sin and know the consequences. So the picture is, God puts this holy and amazing union of marriage into our simple clay jar lives. It is pure and wonderful and life-giving like water. Add sin, and it's a tragedy. It's dirty. You can fake it, but the law of God will get you. Drink up and reap what you sowed. Sow to the flesh, and in that flesh, you'll reap destruction. That's the law. Notice there is no place given for mercy here in the law. But then there's Jesus. Do you remember when the adulterous woman was brought before Jesus in John 8, and they challenged Jesus? What would he do? The law is the law. She must die. Remember now, he was in the temple, and there in the dust of the temple, just like the dust of the tabernacle, he wrote. There's a connection here. Some say he wrote the sins of the people, and he declared, if any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Perhaps it was the dust that found them out, but none stayed, and Jesus, the only one without sin, forgave. As with the leper and with the sinner, the law had only the power to condemn. The law is good, but it cannot heal and cannot forgive. But Jesus, the Lord Jesus, restores.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.